Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Oh, I wonder if she's going to get darker music now.
If there's like some sort of Alanis Morissette remix to this, because that would be the best case scenario to me, is not just like for her to get like bom, bom, da, 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 kind of music, because that doesn't fit her.
Yeah.
Just have somebody weirdly cover this. Like, you're like,
there ain't no stopping me now.
Yeah.
I won't be stopped on the dance floor.
It's just like some sort of weird, wow. Maybe Evanescence-y.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right?
Something
yeah, yeah,
Alanis
yeah.
Morissette-y, flyleafy.
Yeah.
Darky. Like,
You can't say darky.
No, not like that. like, what is that? Like, Gwen Stefani during the breakup?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Stuff, right? Like, if it was just some sort of, if it was like the Don't Speak. But to,
don't speak.
But to like Bailey's yeah. theme, you know what I mean? Where yeah. she's like, she's not just mad, she's yeah. disappointed.
Bill, we'll work on this for next week.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, if we could do, we'll have to do that. We'll have to do Bailey's theme to set to like just downer
and Evanescence, My Immortal
Girl power rock, though. You know what yeah. I mean? Like in power, yeah, yeah, yeah. like the kind of song that someone with a female lead singer writes about not needing that guy no more, and she's right.
Yeah, right.
Something by Mary J. Blige.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Write that down, because if there's one
or
thing
someone I... Something by Hailstorm?
If there's one thing I know about Mary J. Blige, she does not enjoy drama. There is no place in Mary J. Blige's life for drama. Maybe there once was.
But she learned not to.
Around 2002, that time ended, and she has been insistent ever since. So shout out to Mary J. Blige, who I know is listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And friend of the program.
For having no more drama in her life. But that's what I want. That's got to be the remix. It's just got to be like these words. That, and like the like have only like ha- like set the lowest setting for the tube men. So like they're like, they look like they're dying. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
They're where half like, inflated, wacky inflatable arm.
Right,
tube men.
Exactly. It's like they're like they all just had like an aneurysm.
Or they're all black and white.
Yeah, oh, they could be black and white inflatable tube men because she's lost her color.
Yeah.
This is like kind of a Sting kind of idea.
Yeah, right.
That we're drifting down. I don't even care if they're just as bright, but they just got to be like barely
sad.
Filled with air. Right, yeah. They have their frowns.
Yeah, they're all sad.
Yeah, you either do one or the other. They either have to be happy with like 20% of the air, or they have to be fully inflated with frowns.
Yeah.
That's what it's
got. I'd like frowns. I think the frowns would be more fun.
That would be better, I think, is if she comes down to Alanis Morissette singing the Bailey theme.
Yeah.
This is basically
or,
just
or
like,
they all have the hair from that guy from The Cure.
Yeah, right. Smith? Something Smith?
Yeah,
Steve?
Something like
so,
that.
Not Steve Smith.
Not Steve
the wide
Smith.
Receiver. Something Smith. What's the name? What's the lead singer of The Cure? Something Smith,
couldn't
right?
tell you.
All right, we're going to look up the Cure, Bill. and I think it's something Smith.
Yeah, sure.
Robert Smith.
Robert Smith. I also, to be fair, had a real good shot with like Smith or Jones.
Yeah,
you know
Jones,
what I mean?
Yeah,
Thompson.
But he's got like that weird like it's really, really curly, but it's like hanging over his face.
And yeah, he looks like if Edward Scissorhands like got caught in a hurricane.
Yeah, right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like if Edward Scissorhands.
And if all of the wacky inflatable arm flailing tube men had that.
Yep, sure.
That if hairstyle.
They just all looked like they came back from As I Fall Down This Well.
Yeah,
they're. Summer Bummer Tour.
Yeah, the Summer Bummer Tour.
Like,
absolutely.
The Vans Summer Bummer Tour. It's yeah. just a bunch of pants. It's just like, I've never been hogged before. And Bailey's like, well. I haven't. I'll hug
no more.
Right, but Bailey just, like, her new gimmick is she hugs you, right? But now she's, like, wearing knives.
Yeah.
It's like, Bailey.
You can't do that.
What happened? Was it Alanis yeah. Morissette?
Yeah, why?
Speaking of Alanis Morissette, shout out, and shout out, yep, that's playing. It's loud. You can hear that. Technical
Oops.
Stuff, behind the scenes. Shout out, huge shout out, by the way. I'm pretty sure he designed this. Did King of Skunk Duck make the Bailey You Ain't Shit shirt?
Yes, he did.
Because it's amazing.
And they're yeah. selling like wildfire.
And I really want one, and I'm super happy for him, because I even like the censored one better. Do you see the censored one?
Yeah, I asked him to make that.
So it says you ain't shit regularly, or then you can get the ones where the H and the I and shit are covered by inflatable flailing wheelie tube men.
That's very fun.
I'm
going to have to look it up on the Twitter machines.
Get that shirt. Get it today.
I told him I wanted to wear it to Raw in 2 weeks, and I didn't want to wear the one that said shit. So I said, you should make a censored one, and then he came up with like 5 minutes later.
Did you already order it?
No, not yet.
Okay, let me know when you do, because okay. He's gonna get two from this house.
Cool. Oh yeah, okay. I do like it.
I like the censored one better.
Yeah,
I do. That's the one I'm gonna be getting.
Because it gives her an edge, but still no edge at all.
Right, and it's just a little less shocking.
Yeah,
to
right.
read. And when you're around, probably maybe children at a wrestling event.
Yeah.
Speaking of Alanis Morissette, shout out to Kevin Owens. For living the dream, yours, yeah. not most people's, but his.
Yeah, definitely his.
And getting on stage with Shania Twain, which is just something that almost seems more like an SNL skit than...
Kevin Owens and Shania Twain hanging out?
Actual aspiration of his, but I guess Shania Twain is his favorite singer.
Yeah.
And the fun part
is... They spoke in French.
The fun part is, from what I heard, he went there and all he wanted to do was be there while she sang his favorite song live.
Yeah.
He got on stage,
yes.
right? But she did not sing that song. So it's like you did something you didn't expect, but didn't get the thing you wanted the most.
Did you see the video of all that happening?
No.
So he got up on stage and Shania told him that if he beats Braun Strowman, she'll sing Wen at the next concert.
That's amazing. I love Kevin Owens so much. I had never heard the song Wen before, so I was like, oh, this is...
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like,
really?
Why is that his favorite song?
Never heard it.
It's like, yeah. it's silly. Like, if you, like, pot it up for, like, event for, like, later on in the show. But she goes, like, if an elephant could fly, that'd be something, but it can't, so you don't love me. And it's like, what? Like, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, what? And then it's really silly.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
It's just silly.
Yeah, this show's like 15 minutes old and we're silly. We actually have stuff to talk about.
One thing that's kind of related, I want to be the first person to congratulate Rey Mysterio for getting into the Hall of Fame.
That's definitely happening.
That's definitely happening.
Because I remember like 2 years ago having like these, like it was like the middle of the night. And I was like, do you really think Goldberg's going to show up? You're like, he's in the video game. He'll be there. I'm like, but you really think so?
Yeah.
And then like two straight WrestleManias, he did something at the WrestleMania. And it was just like...
Yeah.
Oh my God, I got to wear two different Goldberg shirts to the WrestleManias.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at it and Tyson, Sting, Warrior, Angle,
Goldberg,
all five of those yeah. people, the last five of them.
Yeah.
And I might be forgetting somebody, but I'm pretty sure that's all of it.
And Rey Mysterio could definitely headline this Hall of Fame.
But they all were the pre-order bonus for the video game. They all headlined their own class.
Yep. And in 15 years when CM Punk's old gray hair makes this weird unexpected promo. I'm just kidding. That will never happen. They hate
right.
each other.
They do.
They hate each
they
other.
Had a lawsuit
and I don't
it.
Care that it's the 15-year anniversary. That can't be right. What's it like the 6-year and 7-year
seven.
Of the pipe bomb? Seven's not even a number worth celebrating.
No.
That just means time is passing and we haven't died. And I don't care. We have talked about CM Punk so much that no, we were not going to be talking about that
yeah,
tonight.
No.
He cut a very memorable promo that brought a lot of people back to wrestling. There. Who hasn't said that before? Anyway.
Moving on.
If it's your first time joining us, welcome and thank you.
And that was angry and we apologize.
Right, and we talk about CM Punk a lot, so there's all sorts of ways you can listen and to hear our full, I promise you, full thoughts on Charles Montgomery Punk.
Chick Magnet Punk.
It's official. Chick Magna Punk. And you can find that all on iTunes, Podomatic, Lord Norple, Stitcher. My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during this broadcast. Please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, our website where you can find us live, everything that we've got going on, all of our affiliates, and all of the fun on NewAgeInsiders.com, because all together we are the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. So I tweeted this out, just tell people what we were going to be talking about tonight, that Bayley learned her first swear word.
Yeah.
Because they bleeped it out on the Edge and Christian show. So who knows what she said? That might not even been a real swear. It's bleeped.
Yeah.
It belongs to time. But now there's an uncensored version and fan confirmation that Bayley swore.
I know.
On TV. She must now be the company's top heel, right?
Has to be. Has to be.
I don't think she is. I don't even think she's the bad guy in the story.
She's
not even
a
heel.
I don't even think she's the bad guy in the story. There's a lot of people that think that what she did on Monday night was, quote, turn heel.
Nope.
No.
No, this is a pro wrestler who's like, hey, screw you.
Retribution.
And all
right.
Your, like,
well, because they're both angry at each other, and this is just everything boiling over.
But we're not going to get the Alanis Morissette remix, right?
No.
Because Bayley
no.
is the face. That really is the thing about her. If they're ever going to make a radical shift with Bayley, it's got to be like, it won't have the impact of one Mr. Hulk Hogan, but it's going to have to be as drastic.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to change everything you're used to.
Yeah, everything.
Everything. You know what I mean? Like, this, is, she is.
I don't think people care about Bayley as much
about as Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think history will show you that Hulk Hogan was more
popular
and held in higher esteem than Bayley, who doesn't even have a last name.
Yeah,
that tells you everything you need to know. Hogan got two names.
Yeah.
Bayley just has the one.
Yeah.
But shout out to the Irish cream for making coffee just a little bit better. You don't like it
spelled differently.
You don't like Bailey's Irish cream.
It's Bailey.
Well, you know,
close enough.
Like George Bailey.
Right. Well, it's like Jeff.
Where's the money? Where's the money, you son of a bitch?
I don't know who that is. Should
it's
I
George
know?
Bailey George from Bailey It's from a Wonderful Life?
A Wonderful Life.
Oh, is that Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's talk the guy that was, where's the money? That
there
guy,
it
right,
is.
That's
there.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, there
oh, that's Don Knotts.
Oh, no. It started as Don Knotts, but he got it at the end.
We're coming together and we're going to have a merry
oh,
Christmas.
Oh, we got a donation?
We got a tip.
On oh, nice.
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, we're live on NewAgeInsiders.tv.
No, woo! We're not.
Twitch.tv.
Shout out to Chan Jessica.
Yeah, you're the best. I don't even think Bayley. Back to business, or we're never going to do this. I don't even think Bayley turned heel. I think that what it is, it's,
yeah.
It definitely. What's worth noting here is it's not a full fledged heel turn, right?
No,
it's not even supposed to be a semi heel turn. But what it is character development.
Correct.
Right? This is something where what we've seen, like you said, this character has hit a boiling point and she reacted. We have seen in the past, right, Superman go crazy, but he takes out his crazy on the bad guy. And even though Superman, right, who is
right.
the ultimate protagonist, the ultimate baby, right, Superman goes a little mental. It might even scare you because you're like, wow, I didn't really remember that Superman had that in him. But at least he aimed it at the bad guy.
Right.
Right.
Bayley.
That's what Bayley did.
Right. And this entire situation, you look at Sasha Banks and she's mad, and she, you know, they're both mad at each other. It's there isn't black and white. There isn't a good guy. There isn't a bad guy, because both characters have their points.
Yep.
Each one of them is sick and tired of the other one, which is better storytelling. Because
do you think they've done well with them?
I don't. I don't think that they've done well with this at all. But I think it's because
gone too long.
Right. I think it's because they haven't picked. They haven't started the story. It feels like they keep starting it, stopping it. Because wasn't it like 2 months ago that they had the fight in front of the lockers?
Well, we were talking, this thing's been going on for so long that there was heavy speculation that Bayley and Banks were going to be the women's match at WrestleMania that didn't have a belt on the line.
Right.
But they were just going to have it's WrestleMania, Equality, Revolution, da 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 da. They were just going to have a straight up match because it felt like we were easily going to be able to get there by early April.
Right.
You know, now it, you know, soon you're going to blink and it's going to be July. You know what I mean? And so they've dragged this out, and I don't mind slow burns and all this stuff, but
this has been too slow.
The other issue, too, is, and as my smarky campaign continues, this is also, the issue here is, if this is something that had started in NXT, but never really got its big payoff moment,
right?
Right? Like, the silver lining for WWE only fans is Owens and Zayn never got to do their blow off in NXT.
Right.
Right. So there was still a lot of meat on the bone and stuff for WWE to work with on the main roster. Now, what I would tell you with equal breath is they dragged that out too much, tried to do it too many times. We've now had steak for dinner every night and it's not special anymore.
Right.
Right. And so, but the difference being in NXT, there was unfinished business. We saw in NXT this whole package, their friendship, the betrayal, the matches. We saw the whole thing wrap up.
Right.
So now, fairly or unfairly, and this to me is super fair because it's your company.
Yeah, it's not.
We're not comparing you to 2005 TNA or what Ring of Honor's doing now or how New Japan is just so much better than everything. This is something that your people under your control did.
Right.
We're going to compare Banks and Bayley in the main roster to NXT.
This is apples to apples.
It is.
This is an apples to apples situation because it's the same company with the same production value that...
You can call the people that wrote it.
Right.
And be like, what do you think we should do now?
Yeah.
But instead, it's just to me another example of how...
Well, I don't know. Was Dusty Alive?
Well, yeah. But that's a very valid point. I'm sure that Rhodes produced a lot of their stuff. But I mean, I think you could probably talk to somebody who had a hand in it.
Oh, yeah.
Or even maybe, I don't know, sit down with the two of them and be like, what do you guys want to do? A conversation, yeah. I bet you dollars to donuts, never took place. You know what I mean? I have a feeling these ladies were told what's going to go on, not, you know, asked. But anyway, the problem here is that you're going to have it compared to NXT.
Right.
And the bad side of that on the main roster is NXT has told the story better so far. It was more compact. It felt more emotional. But the WWE's benefit is in NXT, Bayley never blew up like this.
Right.
So this is the first time we've seen this layer of the character, and that's a main roster thing.
Yeah.
So that's to their benefit, that's where we're going now.
This whole thing just feels to me very much like too little, too late.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think anybody cares anymore.
Right. And it's because you keep starting this and then watch, we're going to get the forced counseling or whatever next week.
Yep.
And
shout out to Shelby, right? Dr. Shelby.
He's going to crush it.
What a week.
Yeah.
Dr. Shelby's having.
But, you know, we're going to get forced counseling.
Yep.
And everything's going to be fine because they're going to get gun shy and not want to go through with this.
Yep.
That's really what I think.
I don't even know what the I have tried, like, given up trying to figure out what exactly the, like, the end all to this thing is going to be.
An Extreme Rules match at Extreme Rules.
Sure. Right. Great. Are you on a scale of 1 to 5? Because I don't think anybody could possibly be at a 10. On a scale of 1 to 5, how much do you care about what they've done? How intrigued are you by what they've done?
I'm at
how
a 2.
How much have you enjoyed?
I'm
what
at a
they've
2.
Done?
Solid 2 all
I
the
just,
way around.
It's here's the thing, right? You can only do... I know that in storytelling there's only so many tropes and stuff.
Right.
Right? But the concept of we were a tag team, right? You started to lose the matches we were in.
Right.
I grew resentful and then turned on you is so done and so easy and so lazy. You remember the most recent example of this?
Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano?
Yeah. Well, I would give you one that's even a little bit more recent and even lower on the totem pole. This is what we do with Mojo Rawley and Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
Right? With Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. We're a tag team. Man, you're eating a lot of pins. I hate you now.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
At least Ciampa and Gargano is deeper than that, and Ciampa found a way to, you know, to be
right.
like, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
Johnny, it wasn't about Johnny Gargano losing. It was about how he was secretly stealing the spotlight. Nobody,
yeah, that's right.
And nobody knew. You know what I mean? It wasn't elite, lazy, and easy. It was like, Ciampa's crazy.
Yeah.
And so he tricked himself into thinking that Gargano's a secret mastermind here the whole time. Meanwhile, Johnny Gargano's like, I like you.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? You lost a bunch and now I'm mad with Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder level people. Like,
yeah.
That's more than what these both women who are women's champions for you, right?
Yeah.
Bayley walked in and out of a WrestleMania with that championship. Sasha Banks has won like 17 of them and is 0-18 in title defenses somehow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right. And but the point being that like I wish you didn't keep losing so much. Is that even the story here? Why do they hate each other so much?
It's so convoluted. I can't actually put a finger on it.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, we keep stealing each other's moments.
You know what could have been so much better? Is you don't even need to rely on the NXT, like, as far as, like, did people watch their rivalry in NXT? You can just allude to it and maybe incite interest in going back to the archives and selling this network and all that yeah, stuff, maybe. Right? But what should have happened was Sasha Banks should have been given a... Talk about, like, oh, man, character development and reasoning. What should have happened was these two are best friends, right? Really close friends. But as Bayley starts to win things, she starts growing some confidence. And because of who Sasha Banks, the character, is, she starts subtly reminding Bayley that, you know, yeah, you were really good, but in NXT, I was better. Just a little bit better. And then Bayley reminds her, maybe, but I beat you. And then all of a sudden, it's like they do that thing where you laugh, you go, ha, 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 but you're in high, you're like, I...
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? And now I've got a reason, and now I've got tension, and now I've got them, like,
right.
in the ring trying to steal the pins and stuff, because now it's a game of one-upsmanship.
Right.
This is just lazy.
Because they find themselves in multi-women situations, like an elimination chamber or a Royal Rumble. Or a battle royal.
I thought you'd help me and you didn't.
Yeah, and then you tried to eliminate me and it's just like, yeah, so?
Right, we had like, I feel like a year worth of content with Bayley and Banks down in NXT. It was probably closer to 6 months. But I feel like we have such substance down there to expand on, to play off of, right?
Yeah, they don't have any, nobody has a meaningful reason. Because again, you look at, we split up, I'm going to go back to Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, right? You split them up. You split up the tag team. And on the surface of when they split up a year ago, right? Yeah, about a year ago.
Yeah.
It was, you lost us the NXT Tag Team Championships. Well, from there, we delve deeper into the psyche and found those character moments. And so at no point have we found a point of view or a reason or what's the point, right? Why, how is this going to get you, either one of you, closer to the NXT Women's Championship?
Exactly.
Or the Raw Women's Championship. Neither of you are getting to a point where it's like, oh, we're both vying for a number one contendership, and it's like, hey, let's try and make this work. You screw each other over, so, you know, Nia Jax ends up getting the number one contendership, and you two devolve into this. We didn't even get there. It's just, yeah, we're in tag team situations, and sometimes you run away or don't win, and I don't like it.
This is supposed to be a weekly episodic television program, right? And in theory, it's like, so let's compare it to, like, Friends.
Sure.
Okay? And there's a reason that we're going to compare it to Friends, right? Because Friends was about a show about an ensemble.
Correct.
Right? With interpersonal relationships. And two of the closer friends were Joey and Chandler, right?
Yeah.
And one time, there's a great episode character arc progression thing where Chandler likes Joey's girlfriend, right? And he even kisses her behind Joey's back, right?
Oh, no.
And he's so betrayed, and Joey wants to work it out, and Joey's so mad, and it takes several episodes for us to finally get back to them being buddies and work the whole thing out, right? Well, what if I told you that that was around season 2 or 3, and for the next 7 or 8 years, at no point did Ross kiss Chandler's girlfriend, that would have been Monica, that would have been gross. At no point did, like, Rachel kiss Phoebe's boyfriend behind Phoebe's back, right?
Right.
And then Phoebe didn't, like, really actually try to steal Chandler from Monica.
Right, yeah.
Because we're just doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Correct.
So how come, and this is what happened, not how come, this is what happens. You ruin the fun, good ones when you do it again and again and again and again and again. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were best friends gone wrong. That felt like something because I've got years worth of pictures, and it's like, oh my God, they really were buddies when they were younger, right? And but that's also the dynamic I feel like between like Mojo and Ryder. It's now the dynamic between Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax, Bayley and Sasha Banks. I thought we were friends, and oh my god, I guess we're
not. Now we're not.
Right? And what you do is when like Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, which is the standout example so far of the friendship gone wrong, because they're them.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's a little less special because it's like, yep, every friendship, in, like, you know, whenever Billie Kay betrays Peyton Royce, well, of course she does. They're a team and friends in the WWE.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they split up? People were shocked by Michaels bailing on Jannetty.
Because we didn't do it before.
Right. And now the problem with this storyline with Bayley and Sasha Banks is it's like, what you want to have, the headline sounds good. Longtime friends,
right.
Professional rivals turned bitter enemies. It's like, that's compelling. But that's
all of it.
This is just like how I can't imagine how you can watch a fight on like a Real Housewives show and be captivated. The whole show is 22 minutes of bad people fighting and yelling at each other.
Yeah, right.
Right, just, I'm a bad person. Oh, you think you're a bad person? I'm a bad person. And it's like, that's the whole show. So
can we just get video of you voicing over that?
I would love to do that. But that, like the Real Housewives of like Long Island, that's the whole thing. It's like, let me tell you something. I use the word classy too much. No, I say classy too much. Well, what if I told you that people who use the word classy aren't? And never, and never have been. Like, you never see, like, the Queen of England being like, I'm classy.
Yeah, right.
We know. You're covered in jewels. You're bedazzled.
You're, like, one of the five queens and kings left.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like somebody took an old woman and threw her into Scrooge McDuck's money pit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she just came out with like crowns and scepters and she's like, I'm a person. And
also Winnie the Pooh.
And Winnie the Pooh and the Stay Puft guy. Or not the Stay, what's it? The
Pillsbury Doughboy.
All sorts of fun appearances on the New Age Insider Show. What are we talking about?
We're talking about how it's not fun anymore.
It's not unique. So this is just what the show is. This has just become Real Housewives. If you're friends, you're going to get into a fight with each other. And the more we do any storyline, the more we do anything that much, it loses when it's well done. We lose the gravity of it. And you just become awash to the whole thing. I'm not going to be, you know, like, I feel like the last time I'm in this company that I'm going to be like, whoa, was when Rollins was the bad guy from The Shield.
Yeah.
Because we all thought it was going to be Ambrose.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But even then, because it's WWE, we all heavily expected the breakup.
Yes, correct.
You know what I mean? And that's my central point, that Bayley and Banks is fine because in their matches are pretty good. You know what I mean? And it's certainly nothing like Brooklyn because that was the biggest pay-per-view of their life or whatever, whatever. But it's been fine, but it's impossible to care. This is just another fight on the Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah.
It's background noise.
It's the boy who cried wolf.
Right.
It's the boy who cried wolf. I can't take this feud seriously anymore because you've teased it for so long and you've never gone anywhere with it.
I also just don't care about wrestling friendships gone wrong. I don't want any of you to like each other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I also, you can like each other and still fight.
Or be like The Undertaker and Kane, where I felt like there was a significant portion where even when they did like each other, it was like begrudgingly.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's like The Undertaker was just like, I did try to burn you alive. Fine. You can hang out. You know, and Kane's like, well, I'm not happy about it either, but you're popular, so fine. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that just kind of worked. But
yeah, we're winning stuff.
Right, but they weren't, like, you know, it just, everybody's friends. It just, it's a fighting league.
yes.
Speaking of the Big Red Machine, wow.
And he shows up.
And now he's here. Just jumping off, how surprised were you?
So surprised.
Super surprised.
Yeah.
Right? It was a good one. I didn't expect that. Bill, how surprised were you to see Kane on the
Utterly shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd ever see Kane again.
I almost had to rack my memory real quick. Does anybody else's music start with like a crashy bang thing? You know what I mean? No.
Doesn't even have pyro, but they have the bang still.
Yep. The fire is implied.
yes. It's just like the burns. It's all psychological.
Oh, God. damn it. It's just, it's so bad. You know what I mean? It's like taking, it's like bringing it back to Superman. It would be like if, like, you know, 20 years into Superman, we were like, actually, he's not an alien. They just found him in a cornfield, and the power was all in his mind. It's like, no, he was flying.
Yeah.
What? We have so much backstory to disprove this. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Like, this is so contradictory to so much storytelling.
Yes.
What do you mean he just thought he was super strong? People were shooting him. Yeah. Oh my God, I hate what they did to Kane so much.
How did he fight the Nazis and it was all in his mind?
Yeah, he turned the world back to reverse time in his thoughts. Oh my God, damn it. You know what I mean? Like, there were so many people that saw Kane without his mask in the back. I've said this before.
Yeah, right.
When he had that girlfriend of his, the stupid one, Tori something, but not Wilson.
Yeah. It was just Tori.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Just Tori.
Right, and like X-Pac, and then there was a couple people back there that saw him without his mask on, like went running, right?
Yeah, right.
And so the implication is like, Glenn Jacobs is so goddamn ugly.
Right.
That they saw this guy without his mask on and were like, ah! And had to run away.
Run away.
It's like, oh, he's a four. Everybody run. He's a four. He's a five at best.
Yeah, his eye's wonky. Oh,
he's got a gap in his tooth. Oh, my God.
He's really white.
Yeah. Right. And that's like, oh, you ruined Kane.
Yeah.
Subject over. No, I'm kidding. So we talked about Rey Mysterio and how he's going to headline a Hall of Fame class. I don't know if Kane will headline a Hall of Fame class.
He might.
He could.
He could.
He definitely, definitely could. The only other class I could see him being in, just because of the way the timing feels like it might work out, is if they wanted to put Kane and The Undertaker in the same class, then Kane would be the 1A guy.
Yeah.
But that's it. Other than that, he could definitely headline a class.
I think he will, because if Rey Mysterio is going to...
Yeah.
He will.
Right, totally. Kane's one of those guys that it's weird because he's like, he had like this almost sneaky great career.
Everybody knows exactly who Kane is. Kane is a headlining guy.
Yeah.
Everybody, there's...
I do agree with you.
He is just as well known as anybody in wrestling.
Yeah.
In 21 years, almost completely nonstop. Like, very few breaks in that 21 years.
Believe me, I got nothing against him headlining a class. It's just Kane, it would be almost fitting in his career where it's like, you're good enough to go on last, but you won't.
Yeah, right.
Because isn't that Kane's career?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Right. You know what right. I mean?
How many title runs did he have?
Right, like the one.
Right,
you
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like the one.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, and it was like bald, stupid Kane. It was like 2000.
Bald, stupid
it was like
Kane.
2009, dumb, idiot.
Yeah. World Heavyweight Championship Kane.
Right, crazy Kane, probably crazy with a K.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's as nutty and wacky as this company gets these days.
And that one time he was co-champion with Taker?
Yeah, well, he was the co... What?
They double pinned Austin, didn't they?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Way back in the Attitude Era?
Let's go with that.
I think so.
He did win a first blood match that he like physically couldn't have lost, because I'm pretty sure Steve Austin would have had to cut his throat.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
What's lost in the 1998 King of the Ring that Mankind jumps off the fucking cage
goes through.
That wasn't the main event.
Yeah.
The main event was Kane versus Steve Austin.
First blood.
And I remember thinking Austin was in real trouble. Like, the first time I knew Austin was in real trouble was because Kane had two sleeves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's going to bleed?
Right.
Like, you know,
and he's
mean?
Got a metal mask.
Right. And he had like, you know how Kane always had the one arm exposed?
Yeah.
This time he had both arms covered. And like, what is, like, literally, what
how?
Is Austin going to do? He had to like cut his throat.
Yeah.
To like make
how?
It, like,
and you're going to have to like cut that thing off him.
And then much like you want to know that they were taking that thing week by week, Kane won the World Wrestling Federation Championship that night. And then on Raw the next night, lost it to Austin because they were like, can Stone Cold Steve Austin win the WWF title? Find out next. Not on Nitro.
Yeah, right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And they just needed to win every week or give it their best.
yeah, that's so true.
You like that Goldberg, do you? We're going to figure out who you like more. One time only. Austin versus Goldberg. Head to head on different channels. This is the only match they'll ever have, is a ratings war. But when Kane came back on...
unfortunate.
When Kane came back on Monday, I think it's great because... we'll talk about Hell No in a second, but I definitely think this is Kane's farewell.
Yeah.
This is his last hurrah, because he is now the Republican nominee for mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Yes.
Does that sound accurate? And if he wins the election, that's it. I mean,
that's it.
Put the caveat that, like, I think it's hindering on him winning the election, which I expect him to. With all the love in the world to Knox County, Tennessee, you know what you're doing. You're electing Kane.
Yeah, right.
Right. So there's no there's no chance to, like...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're electing Kane. I mean, we elected a reality TV star.
Yeah, right.
For president.
Right. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger just as much as like Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of my favorite people, it's like a dangerous trend you set, my friend.
Jesse the Body Ventura,
yeah,
was before that.
They were actually good governors too. That's the shame.
That is the shame of it.
What we get going on, but without knowing a thing about the economy or infrastructure of Knox County, Tennessee, I got to imagine that that place is going to vote for Kane, because it's Tennessee and they love wrestling. And so the second he gets elected, his career's over. He's already, right, what, 50 years old or close,
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, and if you're talking about a term that's going to be at least 6 years.
I thought he was already gone. I thought he was already gone, too. So just real quick, I'm just psyched that he gets this kind of farewell, walk away kind of thing.
This is the perfect thing for him, because if we're going to do the hell no thing, I'm super, super happy, because it does so much good for everybody involved, right? Because we get a positive moment for Kane, because we don't get something stupid like the forklift or corporate Kane, right? We don't have to try and pretend that he's like some sort of threat to AJ Styles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to do something stupid like that. Instead, we're going to stick him with Daniel Bryan in something we know you like, to do something with the Bludgeon Brothers, who the Bludgeon Brothers have failed in my mind. They just haven't been captivating at all. It's been really like womp womp, and you know, ever since then. So bringing Hell No back, it gives Daniel Bryan something relevant to do to keep him away from the two things you really want him to do, because it's not time for either of those things yet.
The thing about the Bludgeon Brothers, really quick, the reason it's frustrating is because it's like, so they're the stupidest kind of wrestle silly, because I'm all for characters like, I really like Bray Wyatt, right? Maddie doesn't think I do anymore, but I do. But I really like...
Or Kane.
Right, Kane. Bray Wyatt. The highlight for me of being in attendance at WrestleMania 34 was the Undertaker segment.
Oh, so cool.
So I like that stuff. I like it a lot. And I like the Wyatt family. They just never fully got off the ground because, yes, I will say it, for them to have really succeeded and put their stamp on all the talking they did, Bray Wyatt needed to win the WWE title, and or Harper and Rowan needed to win those tag titles while they were a unit.
Right.
That's what needed to happen. One or the other. Preferably Wyatt, but one or the other, and neither happened. Wyatt won it on his, with Randy Orton, of all people, by his side, and then betraying
Randy Orton and Luke Harper.
Right. And was Harper still with him at that point when he won the title?
Because Rowan was still hurt.
Sure. And Harper and Rowan never won the tag team titles until you repackage them. And the reason they're the worst kind of wrestle silly is because, look, fans like drama and over-the-topness.
Right.
Right? But you're not going to hit anybody with that flipping hammer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With that
Mjolnir target special.
With that thing that you would kill somebody if you hit him with that hammer. Like, Triple H used to insult our intelligence on a weekly basis and wrap his hand around a rubber sledgehammer and hit somebody with it the way no one would hit anything with anybody with anything, right? But no, you're not going to actually put somebody's head on the ground like Gallagher and whack it with that mallet.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
And so they're just stupid. And you're already Harper and Rowan. I've said this before. When I went to college, on the first day of college, I went to the dorms and I met somebody, and he introduced in the circle of friends that I kept throughout college, and he introduced himself to me as Sketch. And everybody called him Sketch. And everybody called him Sketch for like 2 years. And then junior year, he comes up to us and he goes, "Guys, just so you know, I don't really like being called Sketch very much in public, because, you know, people might get the wrong idea if they don't know me. My name is Jake." And I went, "The hell it is." I was so honest with him. It was like, "I'm not calling you that. I'll call you buddy and dude if it's going to bother you, and I won't call you Sketch. But you're not Jake. I'm not relearning your name now."
Yeah,
get
right.
Get the hell out of here.
Like Chip.
Right, yeah, you're Chip now, forever.
Forever.
It's weird when people remind me that's not his name.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's weird. It's like, but that's what it is with it's like, "You're Sketch. What do you mean you're Jake? Get the hell out of here, Sketch." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you're not the Bludgeon Brothers, you're Harper and Rowan. What the hell are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, where'd you get that cape?
Yeah, why did you leave high school, go to college, and decide you wanted a new nickname?
Why do you look like you're trying to be the big bad wolves that weren't tricked by Little Red Riding Hood?
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, we're the guys that found her in the woods and
killed her
and skinned her. You know what I mean? And like, and then we made a mask out of the wolf and grandmother. But that's why they're stupid. It's because it's like, no, you're not the Bludgeon Brothers. A terrible name anyway.
Look, here's the thing. I'll be forever in your debt because you took the bullet for War Machine.
Yeah, thank you for having them not be the Bludgeon Brothers. Thank you. Because if I had to watch Todd Warbeard Hansen come out with that hammer and that coat and like walk toward Raymond Rowe and then turn in the woods, and it's just like,
yeah, and then we throw it over our shoulder like the flippin' Seven Dwarfs.
Jesus Christ. Because we are listening live, and we tell you for a reason, shout out to JMS Express, listening live for the first time in a while. Well, welcome in. We hope you're enjoying what you're hearing. And Magnum's listening live. Speaking of silly stuff, do you still like Dolph Ziggler? Is he a future Universal Champion? Yes and no. I do like Dolph Ziggler. I don't understand why we're doing this. I thought Seth Rollins was doing great, and I don't know what we're doing. But go. I like Ziggler. I'm never going to root against him, but I am starting to root for other people much harder.
Yeah.
Than him, sure.
Like Rusev.
Oh my God, I love Rusev so much. But really quick before we take a quick break.
And talk about Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, maybe. Kane's back, which is awesome.
Right.
The reason, I said this on Molotov in the Morning, right, which you can find right here on New Age Insider's Twitter, right, and soon to be all over the place. But this is the best thing for Daniel Bryan, because here's what it is.
Absolutely.
He will get The Miz, but it's not time.
Nope.
He might get another WWE title run. He might. But right now is not the time. And so while we wait for those times, he's got to do something. And Daniel Bryan fans are so ravenous that they want him to be doing something big and relevant and super important all the time.
And you can't even hint at him being in these title opportunities.
Right.
Because that's the problem. If you put him in the Money in the Bank, you're going to start the Yes movement all over again.
They avoided the spasm after Saudi Arabia because Strowman won and not Cass.
Right.
Looking back, was a great decision. Can you imagine if he was the Nickelodeon Slime Awards champion? Big Cass?
Oh, my God. How
much of a failure that event would feel like in retrospect.
Oh, my God.
We can't even, like, talk about Saudi Arabia anymore because we hate you. But this is great because Daniel Bryan, right, it's not time for The Miz. That's probably SummerSlam. We're about a month away from really starting that thing that in full gear, right?
Yeah.
Three weeks or so.
Yeah, because 14th, 15th?
I'm going to get through the pay-per-view before we do July, which gets us to SummerSlam. And he might go after the title again. That, to me, feels like a WrestleMania kind of thing.
It does.
If Daniel Bryan, if
we're going to do this, the answer is he wins the Royal Rumble.
Maybe. But in the meantime, for everybody out there that needs Daniel Bryan to be doing relevant, important things all the time, well, he's working with a future Hall of Famer in a tag team you like.
Yep.
And they're doing something to kill the time.
Yeah.
While we get to The Miz.
And even if he wins, the two of them win the tag titles from the Bludgeon Brothers, for who cares?
Right.
Give them the tag team titles for 3 months.
Yeah, I don't care if they win it for a couple weeks. Like the Usos or something take it off of them.
Right.
I know, there's no wrong answer to me. I don't care if the Revival do it. Are they even on SmackDown? They're on Raw,
on Raw.
I don't even, God.
Sanity, whatever.
Oh, yeah, great. Talk about guys that are just like, you know, poor the Revival, poor Cleglin and Autopsy, poor Andre Almas, CN,
Almas.
Almost got it right. They're doing nothing.
CN almost got it right.
CN almost got it right.
Yeah, and then you got poor No Way Jose, who's looking like gay Woody.
Yeah, well, he is, I call him No Way Adam Rose.
Yeah, okay.
Because he just took Adam Rose's gimmick.
He did.
And is just, he'll be doing it for 4 months before getting released.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But this is great because it's something for them to do. So just to wrap up the whole point, this is Kane's farewell. It's a fun way for Kane to go out.
Right.
Right? This is something Daniel Bryan needs something to do before doing his big high-profile things. This is far from the worst you could be doing with Daniel Bryan in the meantime.
It's going to be fun. You're going to like it.
Exactly. This is a good thing. I'm just happy to see Kane.
Well, and I didn't even expect to like Kane.
Right. Well, did we not have our point proven?
Yeah.
When they go away for a while.
You miss them.
You miss them, and then they come back and you care.
Right.
When they do bullshit all the time,
right,
I never get a chance to care about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Brock Lesnar. But when it's with Kane.
Yeah, sure.
But when it's Kane, you're right. When you're here in, when you're 47 and fat all the time, it's boring.
Yeah.
When you're 47 and fat sometimes.
It's exciting.
Ooh, it's rare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. That's the difference, right? Gold is just a different color rock, but it's rarer. You know what I mean? And Kane used to be just a big pile of fucking regular rocks. You know what I mean?
Right.
But when you go away for a while and you find a cool rock, you know, when you cut one open, it's got like that purple shit inside.
Yeah.
That's what we finally got.
Oh, look at it. It's on fire.
Whoa.
This rock's on fire.
The earth is confusing and understandable.
It's a lava rock.
Right. You know what I mean? And
it's cool.
That's what Kane right now is, one of those inside purple rocks.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen one in a while, and they're cooler than the regular rocks. When we come back, we're going to be talking about...
rock that isn't satisfying.
We're going to be talking about... You want to talk about finishes with rocks. What if I told you that you were about to throw paper, and then somebody came in and tackled you, because that's how WWE matches end.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about how non-finishes are... destroying the wrestling business.
Oh my God!
There's your hot take. The New Age Insiders will be right back.
Hey guys, you know how much I love Bruzongo, right? But I have a great tip for avoiding the fashion police.
This must be tough for you.
A little. But with so many great NAI Pod and NAI Network shirts available on ProWrestlingTees.com, I couldn't keep this to myself.
So how exactly can I avoid a fashion fine? A tacky ticket? Is it a walkway warning? Man, these guys are talented.
Yeah, like you have to tell me. Make Bruzongo proud and head over to the New Age Insider store on ProWrestlingTees.com.
Well, I heard the entire NAI Network team and Frog Balor were represented.
Yeah, I heard that too. What was the site again?
Go to ProWrestlingTees.com and search the New Age Insiders. That's ProWrestlingTees.com.
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam. Show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling from the two guys that were there from day one. Myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie J. Makowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
What is this song?
It's just one of the Raw themes.
Is it?
Is it? Okay.
I remember when it just used to go...
an authority in your eyes!
It's like when they're going to commercial.
Well, just even when they used to do like the things where like the graphics like up next with the matches and then they move for like 5 seconds and then freeze. And it was
just...
Is that good radio?
Yeah, just tremendous.
It's
the best radio.
It's beautiful radio.
It's beautiful.
I get how radio works. Everybody thinks so.
It's radical radio.
Yeah, you tell the microphone what you're thinking, and
the
then
ratings are huge.
And then it screams it at the wind, and then and then your radio hears the screams. And tells. Is that how radio works?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yes.
It.
I went to school for this too. That's how radio works. You scream into your microphone.
That's
and then
exactly
it's,
how.
And then it screams into the wind, and then your
what
radio
that?
Screams it back at you.
Like a dying dinosaur.
That's weird. Yep. We have and for those who aren't watching on Twitch, we have an alpaca, and it's encouraging you to listen on to watch on NewAgeInsiders.com. All right, no more of that. All right, so one of the things before we get on out of here, we promise that this show, it's the last segment of the show perhaps, but it's not the big finish yet because we're going to be talking about Charlotte being featured in Sports Illustrated's Body Issue. Is it Sports Illustrated or ESPN?
Sports Illustrated. No, it's ESPN.
ESPN.
The swimsuit is the Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, ESPN, the
Body Issue.
ESPN gets naked.
Yeah, right. They really just cut right to the chase. And so we are going to be talking about Charlotte's appearance in ESPN's 10th Body Issue, why we think that's a real sign of progress for women, just the kind of the juxtaposition to what women were expected to do with their bodies as WWE employees just, you know, 10, 15 years ago,
right,
and what they are now able to do in an empowering way with their bodies in the world we live in now. We're going to talk all about that. You can sign up on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. You can go to newageinsiders.com. All the Patreons are waiting. There's tons of other rewards. 5 shows a month. Neighborhood watches. 7 days a week we talk to you guys. There's what we got, Be Heard, which is the exclusive concept show that you can take part in and be
maybe
part
we'll have
of.
A secret barbecue for the 4th of July.
Oh, I love all of that. There's just tons of rewards, and your support goes a long way in keeping this thing going. NewAgeInsiders.com, the Patreon sign-up is right there. And this week, we will be talking all about Charlotte Flair's appearance in the Body Issue and why we think that is so damn cool. And again, I compare it to a show on Netflix where all our backlogged episodes for months and months and months are available. So if you sign up today, you get everything that we've done. It's all there, sitting there waiting for you. And again, our huge love and affection.
I even released some of last year's Be Heard episodes to the public, so go check those out.
How good Bill is. Okay, so that is going to be what we do after this. But we are going to finish this show, we hope, the right way, because a good finish to a show can really put a punctuation on the entire show itself.
Correct.
You and I have talked countlessly about how the last thing on a pay-per-view can affect how the entire pay-per-view is graded, right?
Right.
Seth Rollins cashing in on Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns probably turned a pretty good WrestleMania into what's considered a great WrestleMania, right?
Yep.
Because it's the last thing you saw. Hulk Hogan doing what he did at WrestleMania 9, right, just became like the crap on the crap Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the final
final poopy nail.
Right. Finally, somebody, you know, spit, like, you're getting a shit Sunday. It's like, wait, I forgot to spit on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that was Hogan, you know, with the main event. And so it can really impact the whole trickle down effect. And I think Monday we saw another example of how WWE just sometimes can't get out of their own way.
Right.
Because, so Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, because that is, in all honesty, Magnum. What you can count on out of Dolph Ziggler being your Intercontinental Champion, whether or not it's the most prudent decision, which I would tend to believe it is not, you can still count on him giving you very, very good matches.
Quality matches in big spots.
Especially when you give an opponent the caliber of Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And they did what you would expect them to do, which was put on a match that literally they cut into the crowd and having them react and freak out because it was so good.
Yeah.
Edge of your seat stuff that I think a lot of people thought Seth Rollins was going to win. Here's the thing, though. Of course Seth Rollins didn't win. And of course Dolph Ziggler didn't win because we can't make up our mind. We don't know how to have people lose. And we just need everything to be a schmoz. Drew McIntyre runs in, knocks the whole thing out of the park,
right,
and it's a mess. And a match that, quite frankly, deserved an ending, once again, didn't get one. And if this was the exception, not the rule, okay, they're trying to get you to hate Seth. They're trying to get you to hate Dolph Ziggler, and they're probably going to do the thing at the pay-per-view. I understand, but it's just another example of WWE giving you these count-out, DQ, no finishes to matches that at the very least should be wrapped up. How come no other promotion on earth relies so much on long screwy finishes?
Well, that's what I was going to say, and I don't want to be that person, but I'm also going to pitch somebody we're going to have on next week. We're going to have Kelsey from Super Kicking It with Kelsey on next week to talk about New Japan's G1 special. That'll be July 7th.
A sign of things to come.
Yeah, so she's going to be on. She's going to talk about it. She's a big New Japan fan, so we'll have her on. It'll be a ton of fun. But to, you know, not harp on the smarky smark train, New Japan doesn't do this. Everybody wrestles. And there's a winner and there's a loser. And sometimes the guy you like doesn't win. But that doesn't make him not in out of contention or in contention or less of a competitor than his rival, you know? And people can win and lose in this fighting promotion so that when something as screwy as wrestling to a draw happens, it feels deserved. It doesn't feel icky.
right? Raw felt icky at the end because it felt like somebody had screwed up. It felt like, all right, this is the end of the show, but we haven't cut. We still have to fill 3 minutes before we can go to Chrisley.
And the thing is, it's like, it, shout out to Todd Chrisley, but it's just lame because, like, I know that, you know, you can overthink these things and, dude, there are no actual rules and get over it. And that's very fair. But at the same time, you talked about this before and you're right. If we were watching The Walking Dead and if the resolution to The Walking Dead is that aliens come down and shoot all the zombies so mankind can continue, you're going to be like, how the hell did we get to build for 10 years to get to space, to get to that, right? So you're right that there are no rules on the zombie show.
Right.
But aren't there?
There are.
Right? And in this company, you're right. Dude, I get you. There are no rules. But Drew McIntyre was ejected from ringside and came back anyway. And he's not going to be suspended.
No.
And he's going to be there next time. Or he's not, but he'll still find a way to get involved. And there's no consequence.
Right.
And there's no punishment. And so
there's
like,
no rules. And so in fiction, there's the concept of willing suspension of disbelief. And as long as you set the ground rules, and that's the example that we give with The Walking Dead, right? In The Walking Dead, I am willingly suspending my disbelief that zombies aren't a real thing.
Yeah.
They can't be real. It's not a real thing.
Right.
But I am suspending that disbelief to allow myself to be immersed in this world and accept the rules of the world. And when Luke Skywalker shows up in the series finale and cuts everybody with a lightsaber, that feels cheated. I feel cheated. It's not a part of the world that I was presented. And it's the same thing with WWE. I do need there to be rules. I don't care what those rules are, but you need to present them to me so that I can live within the fiction.
Yep.
Because you're absolutely right. McIntyre was ejected from ringside and then showed up anyway.
And there'll be no punishment.
And there'll be no punishment. Not only will there be no punishment, but him and Ziggler are going to wrestle Rollins and Roman in the main event of next Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
So he's basically being rewarded for this?
Right.
That makes no logical sense.
Exactly. And so the issue is, I get you that you found yourself as WWE, right? Where the conundrum is, and here's something too, because we are a show of the people and live for a reason. John Morse is listening live, who wants us to keep up the great work, but can we get more Bill Neville input? So we're gonna throw this out there and kick it right to Bill.
All right,
because that's the issue here. Is you're right. I'm not gonna stress too much over the Drew McIntyre thing, but it's a footnote worth making. You make your own rules and don't abide by them. So what's the point? But the other thing is too is like, so I understand the conundrum, right? You're backstage at WWE. Well, Seth Rollins is hot shit right now, so we don't want him to lose back-to-back weeks, especially not just, like, just lose. But, damn, we have an audience that's pretty confused why Dolph Ziggler's the Intercontinental Champion, and maybe if he just won this match, right, that would cement that it's like, God damn, I forgot Dolph Ziggler is a former world champion, and this guy's for real.
Right.
Right? But you're so afraid because it's just, you know, have you ever seen that thing, like that the meme where it's the two buttons and the guy's sweating?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could tell back there they were like, have Seth Rollins lose back-to-back weeks, make Dolph Ziggler look like a good Intercontinental Champion. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what we do is we wrap the whole thing up and it's lazy. Bill, what do you think about just all these non-finishes to great matches?
It's brutal. And look at the program we just had with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ugh.
And nobody wanted to see that third match or that fourth match, for that matter.
I know.
And every match ended in low blows, and it just felt so unsatisfying. And like you said, it's so annoying to have that guy with the sweaty guy with the two buttons in the back, because why can't Seth Rollins look weak for 2 weeks?
WWE is like, they're so strange about the things that they're like willing to cave in on,
right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, you look at, you know, that match, and they're so unwilling. Like they're willing to make the commitment to Ziggler to be the Intercontinental Champion, but they're not committed to making him look like great and legitimized, right? When Seth Rollins was doing that for the title.
Well, it's like Naito lost to Jericho, and that just happens.
Right.
And nobody's looking at Naito being like, well, you're a loser now.
Right. And before that, Jericho lost to Omega.
If Seth Rollins had just lost, right, those two guys, Ziggler and Rollins, just did what they did on Monday, right? And Rollins lost. right?
Right.
Well, now what I can do is I can work with that, because what I've done is I've been like, you know, I've told my audience, you need to take Dolph Ziggler seriously now, right? And
yes,
I told you
right.
that, right? And then what I can do is I can have Seth Rollins be like, holy shit, this time 2 weeks ago, I was on top of the world. And if I don't keep my laser focus, I'm, you know,
right.
maybe I got a little too cocky. Now I've lost back to back to Flip and Ziggler. I got to get back on track. And it's an actual justification for this character getting a quote unquote push, because this elite athlete took his eye off the prize, learned his lesson, and is now back on laser focus.
Right.
Wins back his Intercontinental title. Goes after Brock Lesnar. I don't care what you want.
Right.
But it's a,
whatever.
But it's a story. Which
right.
they don't have. Instead of that, it's just Drew McIntyre will boot you with no consequence, wrap it up. And as I was saying to Bill, they want me to be appreciative of the strangest things. Where
yeah.
it's like, when there is just a great match with a clean finish, I feel like WWE stands back and goes, you're welcome. You
yeah,
know what
right,
I mean? Where it's
right,
just
right.
like, thanks? Everybody else just does this.
Yeah, yeah right.
You know
you're
what I mean?
The only promotion that does this way.
Right, exactly. And so, like I felt like this is, like, what we're doing now with everybody is what we used to do with just Cena. Where it's
yeah.
like, when Cena loses once out of every 15 matches,
yeah,
right,
right?
And they went, see, we listen. It's like, oh, Jesus, thanks.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, I'm
right.
dying here on the floor.
Let's see right. two in a row.
Well, it's like, and it's just like, guys, and again, I don't, you know what? I'm going to screw it. I don't care. Dominion, at no point did the Young Bucks, the Golden Lovers, anybody from Chaos come down, Gato, nobody came down to interfere in the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah.
Where it's like, WWE just can't seem to help themselves.
WWE would have had Sting and the NWO and DX and Shawn Michaels. I've seen it.
And even when
right.
even when New Japan sends guys down to ringside, like the Young Bucks have come to ringside for a Kenny match before, but they don't get involved.
Right.
And when Cody Rhodes like went ringside and like threw in the towel like a year ago,
yeah,
whatever,
right.
that was like, whoa, my God, we never see this.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And it's so different that it's like, whoa, this is New Japan. They don't do this.
Right.
WWE wants me to write a formal letter of thanks
when
it's just like, yeah, John Cena lost, you're welcome. It's
yeah.
like, well, he hasn't lost in 18 months, but thanks.
The bell rang and they wrestled.
Right.
And somebody won.
Yeah, right.
You're welcome.
Exactly. And it's just like, yeah, it really is. It's like what we used to do with Cena, where Cena would lose once in like 18 months and they'd be like, oh, yeah, we don't listen. And it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Right.
And that's what they do now, where it's just like, guys, you're becoming spoiled smarks if you just want every match to just like
and
have a pinfall winner. I mean,
right.
God
it's
almighty.
It's such a shame, too, when you start a Raw main event at like 10:35 and you go for a half hour and then it ends like that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, looking back, I can't believe in like the Ultimate Challenge that like like Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik didn't come down for like one last bit of revenge on Hogan.
Yeah,
you know
right.
what I mean? And that's how Warrior won or something. Because
right.
that's what we would have done today.
That is what we would have done today. For no reason.
Like, remember when, like, it is legitimately shocking. And I understand completely that it's who he's beaten
right.
to get that shock. But Brock Lesnar went into a wrestling match with John Cena, right? And Heyman cuts the perfect promo. He goes, yeah, of course he's going to win. He's bigger than John Cena because he's bigger and better and he's terrifying, right? And you go, yeah, I get it, Heyman, but, you know. And then Lesnar wins the match. Nothing funny. He
yeah.
just wins and everybody goes, what happened? Is everything okay? Did they screw the finish up?
Yeah.
Cena just lost. And
yeah,
it's like,
right.
That's what it would have
well,
been.
Well, it's like, think about, even let's even bring it a little bit closer to home, because my last few examples have been New Japan related. Let's go to NXT. The last time there was a screwy finish in NXT was far more out of necessity than anything else, because Bobby Fish needed to have knee surgery, but we needed Adam Cole to win the North American Championship and also defend the tag team titles in two matches on the same night, separated by like 15 minutes. And so that was the most screwy finish we've had, because at the end of that, it was Roderick Strong turning heel to pin and help everybody. And that's the last time I remember it being screwy nonsense.
Yep. And it made sense. And it was applicable. And like, so let's just say NXT.
Yeah.
Let's say NXT is the only wrestling you watch. That is your wrestling world, right? One of the stories, fan fiction things that's been floated around that might be fun is, let's just say that Gargano and Ciampa finally hits a championship level.
Right.
Right? And what if Candice LeRae turned her back on Johnny Gargano,
right,
and helped Ciampa and broke everybody's heart, and it's, oh my God, I can't believe it, right? My first inclination would say, they're probably not going to do that because that doesn't sound very NXT.
Right.
My second thought would be, if they did, how shocking would it be? Because that doesn't sound like NXT.
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, in WWE, all you do all the time, like, you know how they say that if you're like a CIA operative or like a Navy SEAL, you walk into a room and look around and figure out what you can kill everybody with?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, you walk into a room and go, I can, you know, break the bottle and cut the throat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And
yeah,
I feel like as a WWE fan, yeah, you walk into a wrestling match and go, what's the paragraph we're going to get to how this thing ends?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because honestly, when I do these, I do it for every single title match in this company. Your last chance predictions on Twitter. Who's going to win this title and who do you want to? And everybody, and 9 out of 10 times, people go like, well, I want it to be Guy A, but this is how Guy B is going to win. And it's 3 sentences. And they're usually right.
Yeah, right. Because
nothing just ends. You know what I mean? And it's, we talked about it in the beginning of the show, where if you do this friends who get betrayed story too much, it loses all its impact. All these screwy non-finishes, and now it's just like, it lowers your expectation for the whole night, I feel, because what, am I just going to get this spectacular match? Like, it's, you know, talk about, like, you know, kissing your sister. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's, I don't want to, like, I don't want to watch an amazing back and forth match that grips me and makes me care so much about who wins, and then no one does. With all the love in the world to the majority of people on earth who love the World Cup, right? I can't get into soccer, and a significant reason is we can play 90 minutes, 100 minutes, right? And the score can be 0-0, and then everybody just goes home and somehow feels good about it. And that's just repugnant to me as an American sports fan. Right?
Yeah, right.
That we can just care this much for this long and have it be this suspenseful, right?
Right. And then it just
ends. And then no one won. And right, then we just go home. And it's just like, I would sit in that arena until something happened. A fireworks show, a monster truck. Because there's no way I sat here for 3 hours to watch a soccer match just end.
Well, the thing that sucks about it too is that you think watching at home that it ruins the live experience, but what they do as soon as Raw goes off the air is they have another match and the face always wins, exactly. So everybody goes,
well,
home
that
happy.
Was the thing. I'm sitting there watching that Raw and I go, as soon as this thing hits black and we get American Ninja Warrior, that's when Kurt Angle's music hits.
Yeah. Right.
And we get Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns,
we get a tag match,
versus Dolph Ziggler and
McIntyre.
Yeah. I guarantee you that was the dark match.
Yeah. Yes.
As soon as they were like, all right, we're done, cue Angle's music. Because everybody was just standing around. I know. Being like, oh, look at this. What's happening? This is nonsense, huh?
What is this picture that Jamie sent me? It seems vulgar.
Probably. What did he send it to you on?
In all likelihood.
On Twitter. It seems vulgar.
Ooh.
I don't know what to do with that, but okay.
Are you having fun in the land of fun in the sun?
Oh, no. It's Finn Balor's butt.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
He bruised his tailbone.
Oh, well, then
his crack is blurred. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, I'm still all set. I saw like a lifted shirt and like a bruise, and I was like, I don't know what's going to be lower in the photo, but I have learned before that the internet can be a cruel place.
No, I see what he sent.
I'm all set. But shout out to Jamie, who's out in Hawaii, and shout out to For the Pops and Let the Chaos Begin, all part of what the New Age Insiders are offering. And those shows, I promise you, all have real finishes. The next time you will hear from us, we will be live. They do. I think they do. The last time, I've never heard a show that we've endorsed that didn't have an ending. The next time you'll hear from us, are you doing Late Night Liam tonight?
No, we're going to pass on it tonight.
Okay. The next time you'll hear from us will be Molotov in the Morning, which we encourage you to check out on Facebook. It's up by 10 o'clock and somewhere in the 9:30 to 10:30 ballpark in the world. It's the most consistent program in the world. How can you not love it? What is this?
When?
This is when?
When?
Thank you. Listen to the words. So it's literally like, If a goose could smile, it wouldn't. It's like really weird.
Yeah, it's Shania Twain.
Yeah, but she's, I don't know.
I like Shania Twain.
Yeah, me too. She's not lyrically silly, though. I'd be a little more optimistic, but I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I don't mean to sound so. This is like Kevin Owens' wedding song, isn't it?
Yep. Really jumped over the moon. What are you talking about, Shania?
Yeah.
Did anybody think that the cow jumping over the moon was a piece of nonfiction?
Never.
isn't good.
Yeah. No, it's not that great. You know who's awesome? Celine Dion.
Yeah. I'm not even putting down Shania Twain. This is Kevin Owens' favorite song?
Sure.
I don't think this is good.
Sure. Speaking of favorite songs,
Corduroy by Pearl Jam is mine.
I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness.
I know. Bill, for John Morse, what's your favorite song?
Oh, God.
Say Corduroy by Pearl Jam.
I think Queen, Somebody to Love.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
anything you said after Queen would have been acceptable.
Yeah. Queen.
Yeah, anything you said after
Queen. Queen is my favorite band.
Same here.
Pearl Jam.
I love Somebody to Love.
Pearl Jam is my favorite band.
I am so excited for that movie.
I'm one of those people, though, that's like, you know how, like, if you like, you know, like, there's people that are like crazy into Pearl Jam.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
That's
like,
fine.
My instinct is to like scream at you about the genius of Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, so I'll catch you in the morning right here on Twitter. We're going to catch all of our Patreons immediately after.
Yes.
As we talk about Charlotte and all sorts of fun stuff. Sign up today on NewAgeInsiders.com. Huge shout out to Kevin Owens for Living a Dream. I do think the song is bad, though. I'm sorry. On behalf of everybody here, well, my name's Jason Montauk.
I'm Liam Streger.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter. Please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. Go to NewAgeInsiders.com today to find all the fun stuff we've got going on, ways to jump in even further, and help us make this the premier place for wrestling fans to connect.
Somebody subscribed or something.
Shout out. I think it's also Brandon McIntyre's birthday this week.
Yeah,
so shout out to Brandon McIntyre for the birthday week. And thank you for making us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.